How you doing there, folks? This is Ken Maynard with another tale from the Diamond Cave. You know, it's mighty nice having you drop in and visit with us every day here in the tack room of the Diamond Cave Ranch. Tarzan would like to say hello, too. Wouldn't you, boy? You know, that's his way of inviting you to visit with us for the next 15 minutes. I've got a story to tell you called Devil's Kitchens. So pull up your chair and make yourself comfortable.
From the tack room of Ken Maynard's Diamond K Ranch, we're bringing you stories of adventure. Stories of circus life, fascinating transcribed tales of the Old West, where cowboys still follow the cattle trails. Stories of rodeos and parades, colorful legends of the red man, hidden gold and buried treasure. The exciting tales from the Diamond K are told by Hollywood's champion of Western stars, internationally famous Ken Maynard. And Ken's got a real thriller in store for you today, buckaroos. And speaking of thrills, just imagine Ken coming right into your living room and saying hello to you personally. Say, isn't that a thrill? And that's not all, no, sir. After Ken speaks to you directly, he'll tell you two of his favorite stories about the Wild West. Now, I'm talking about the Ken Maynard personalized record album that you can have for your very own. Now, you can't buy it in any store, no, sir. This is Ken's own Diamond K brand record album. It's all in color with a big picture of Ken and Tarzan right on the front. And inside are two big 8-inch unbreakable phonograph records made of expensive pure vinylite. Ken and Tarzan's picture is right on the record, too, and there's another picture on the back of the album. Now, here's the best part of all. When you put the record on your phonograph, you'll hear Ken talking right to you with a personalized message. He'll say,
well, hello, Andy. Hello, Betty.
Or whatever your name is all you do. Just put a dollar bill and your name and address in an envelope and send it to records in care of this station. Isn't that amazing? You get two wonderful records with two real Western stories all in a beautiful colored album for only $1. Send in right now, kids, and just wait till you see how surprised your friends will be when you play the records and Ken speaks right to you personally. Be the first in your neighborhood to own a real Ken Maynard personalized record album. Now, Ken.
One afternoon about a month ago, I had a couple of young visitors here on the ranch. They came out from the city to spend the day. Tommy Barton and his younger brother, Bob. Well, sir, they followed me around the ranch as I did a few odd jobs, and along about sundown, we fed Tarzan and bedded him down for the night. I'll tell you, these boys could ask more questions than the quiz show. You got to be right on your toes to keep ahead of youngsters nowadays. Well, after we finished the chores and fed the dogs, old Pepper and Lucky, we went back to the tack room, lit the fire, and settled down for some storytelling. Tommy said to me, Ken, we don't want to hear any sissy stories. I looked over at the youngsters curled up on the big Navajo rug in front of the fire and said, well, what kind of a story do you want to hear, Tommy? Well, we want something that's got a lot of excitement and adventure, he answered eagerly. Well, I could see just an ordinary yarn about cowboys wasn't going to satisfy this young man, so I picked up a map lying on my desk and pointed to a dot in the southeast corner of Arizona and said, can you read that, Tommy? He looked at me kind of disgusted-like and said, sure I can. That's Tombstone, Arizona. He settled back on the rug and I asked, how would you boys like to hear a true story about one of the toughest gang of robbers that ever toted a six-gun? Well, sir, their eyes lit up like a prairie fire, and before they could ask more questions, I started my story. Curly Bill Brocious was the leader of this gang of robbers, and a mean hombre if ever I saw one. Curly had a face like a bulldog and a voice to match. It was one night just after supper. Curly Bill and his gang were sitting around their fire in a hill somewhere east of Tombstone as he said to them, there's a 17-mule train coming over the border from Mexico, heading for Tucson with a load of smuggled gold. It's worth close to $3 million. There's only one hitch. I don't know when they're leaving Mexico or how many men will be guarding the train. We only got 6 men, and they probably got 10, maybe 20. But that's not going to stop me from getting that $3 million in gold, Curly said, because I've got an idea. But we'll have to work fast. Well, sir, Curly Bill did have an idea, all right. Sent one of his men, an old cutthroat by the name of Hughes, down to Mexico. Kept his ears open, found out the information he wanted, then hightailed it back to Curly Bill's hideout. When Hughes walked in, one of the toughest men of the gang, Zwing Hunt, was sitting in the cabin digging his spurs in the tabletop. Hughes looked at Zwing in surprise as he sat there acting like he was boss. Where's Curly? Hughes asked. Zwing's lips twisted in a half smile as he said, hello, Hughes. Curly's got something stewing over around Tombstone. Didn't say when he'd be back. Then Zwing pointed to a chair and he said, "Sit down, Hughes. You look kind of nervous. Must have learned a lot of things down in Mexico, huh? Let's you and me talk it over while we're waiting for Curly Bill." Well, sir, Hughes thought about that for a minute. He was supposed to report to Curly Bill. Zwing was a sort of a second in line, and there wasn't any time to lose. The mule train with the gold was already on its way. Zwing started asking casual questions, and before Hughes had really made up his mind to talk, he'd told Zwing the whole story. Well, before the evening was over, the two men had decided to give Curly Bill a double cross and handle the job themselves. They lined up a couple of the boys they thought they could trust and set out along about sunup to ambush the smuggler's train. After days of hard riding, they picked their spot in Skeleton Canyon right near Devil's Kitchen. It was a long, narrow canyon with plenty of boulders and patches of brush. A mighty good hideout for them. Zwing Hunt and Hughes hid their men and horses back in the shadows of the rocks and started the long wait for the first sight of the mule train. It was early evening on the second day when Zwing and Hughes heard the clinking of chains and saw the mule train as it started its slow, tedious climb up the narrow box canyon. Zwing's voice was tense as he whispered, "There she comes, Hughes. Must be at least 30 mules and 15 or more men. We'll get on the narrows and pick them off one by one." Well, sir, the walls of Skeleton Canyon echoed like thunder on a sultry day. I reckon you could hear the cries and shouts of the Mexicans from miles around. They were trapped, caught in the narrows with the entire mule train. They couldn't turn around. There wasn't room. They had to go forward or desert the treasure-laden mules. And Zwing, Hughes, and their few men were placed so they could shoot the smugglers like flies. In desperation, the Mexican smugglers stampeded the mules, and they came roaring down the Devil's Kitchen like angry bulls as the sacks on their backs ripped against the rocks, scattering their contents like tumbleweeds in the wind. Whew! Well, telling this story sure gets me excited. While we rest just a minute, let me interrupt the story to tell you about something I'm mighty proud of. Have you heard about my K-shirt? It's a real Western shirt that a friend of mine designed especially for me. It's sort of like a T-shirt, you know, nice cotton about the color of desert sand, with a flaming red Diamond K brand centered on the front. And it's got our picture on, too, me and Tarzan. Well, the kids in my neighborhood took a fancy to it and wanted one like it, so my friend made up some special. Kids said I ought to tell you about them, so that's what I'm doing. If you figure you'd like to have a K-shirt like I wear when I'm practicing tricks and fooling around, I'll see that you get one if you drop me a note. Fella said he'd fix you up with only a dollar apiece. That sure surprised me. Just name your size, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or 12. If you want a K-shirt like mine, just send me your name and address and the size and slip a dollar bill in the envelope, too, and send it to K-shirt in care of this station. Well, now let's get back to the gold of Devil's Kitchen. Young Tommy and his brother were sitting up on the floor of the back room, my ranch, with eyes as big as saucers as they both asked questions at once. "What happened, Ken? What happened to the smugglers and the outlaws? And was there really gold on the mules?" Well, in the confusion of the stampede, the few Mexicans that were left high-tailed out of there like scared rabbits. Hughes and Zwing took after the escaping mules, shooting them down like a buffalo hunt. Even today, you can still see the bleached bones of mules half buried there in the desert. Yes, sir, there was treasure, all right. The outlaws gathered the loot together in huge piles. There were statues of solid gold, boxes filled with diamonds, sacks of gold and silver coins, more treasure than they could possibly carry away on their ponies. So they decided to bury it and come back later. That same night, Hughes left for Galeyville to put Curly Bill off the trail, leaving the arrangements to Zwing. Now, I reckon that's where he made his mistake. No sooner had Hughes left than Zwing decided to give them all the double cross. Next morning, a few hours before sunup, he found a Mexican with a team and a wagon and hired him to haul the treasure to a new hiding place. As Zwing stood looking at the spot where the treasure now lay buried, the Mexican said, "You pay me now, then I go, huh?" Zwing smiled, his cunning eyes filled with greed. "Sure, I'll pay you," he said. "I'll pay you double." Well, sir, Zwing put his smoking guns back in their holster, and the Mexican lay dead in the desert sand. It was one night a couple of weeks later, Zwing was sitting in a saloon in Tombstone when the door swung open and Curly Bill Brocious stood framed against the night. He eyed Zwing and adjusted his guns and started to walk slowly toward the little man with the beady eyes. Curly Bill's lips were tritely drawn as his voice was hard, and he said, "Hello, Zwing. I've been looking for you. I heard rumors you've been kind of busy lately. Maybe you've been looking after my interests. Maybe you got something important to tell me, huh? Zwing smiled. Sure, I got something important to tell you. And it won't take long, either. Zwing was sneaking his gun out under the table as he talked. But Curly was too fast for him. He shot the gun out of Zwing's hand and then creased his shoulder. Curly didn't want to kill Zwing. He still had to find out where the gold was buried. Well, sir, they took Zwing to the hospital in Tombstone, and that's where his old friend Hughes caught up with him. When Zwing heard Hughes was in town, he ducked out of the hospital window, and that was the last anybody ever saw of him. Curly Bill's gang said Zwing was killed by the Indians, but an uncle down in San Antonio swears Zwing came to him, wounded and badly infected. Zwing knew he was done for, so one night he called his uncle to the bed. His face was twisted with pain. Zwing asked his uncle to get a pencil and paper. It was hard for him to talk now. He said, the money, $3 million. I've got to tell you where it's buried. I'll draw a map. See? In Arizona by the San Simon River. Stands a mountain, and between Silver Springs and Gum Springs is a burned wagon. Close by is a stone about hip high with two crosses on it. Then 20 paces east of the rock, under the burned wagon, is $3 million. $3 million. But Zwing Hunt never finished the sentence. Well, sir, Zwing's uncle spent the rest of his life looking for the treasure, but he never found it. He made one mistake. He took for granted that everyone knew where Davis Mountain was. He didn't realize that Zwing named the mountain after one of his dead outlaw pals who'd been killed in the ambush. The uncle found a burn wagon and a rock with two crosses on it, but nothing buried under it. So, folks, somewhere near Skeleton Canyon, there's still $3 million. In treasure waiting for you, are you, are you? The lost goal of Devil's Kitchen.
Holy Toledo, Ken. That was a humdinger of a story. You know, I felt like I was really there during all the excitement, too. And say, kids, how would you like to have Ken really there, right in your living room anytime you want? Why, it's just like having Ken in person when you own one of his wonderful Diamond K record albums made especially for you. Remember what I told you earlier? You get a whole record album with two complete Ken Maynard Western stories in a beautiful bound album for only $1. Now, both the album and the records have colored pictures of Ken and Tarzan blazing right across the front. Don't forget, these records are personalized with a message from Ken just for you. And he'll call you by name. They're high-quality records, too, made from pure vinylite, the finest material that money can buy. It's impossible to break one of these wonderful records, and you can play them over and over as many times as you want. So be sure to send in your name and address right now to Records in care of this station. Enclose a $1 bill. The records and the album will be sent right to you, postage prepaid from Hollywood. Hurry now. The quicker you write, the sooner you'll have your Western record album to hear and enjoy. Now, let's get back to Ken.
Well, folks, it's time to bring our story round up to a close. This is Ken Maynard and Tarzan. Closing up the tack room at the Diamond K Ranch till I see you next time, when I'll tell you the story of Secrets of Three Horn Ranch. We'll be looking for you. In the meantime, get your $1 bills in the mail now for some real Western fun. So long.
You've been listening to Tales from the Diamond K, stories of adventure told by Ken Maynard, internationally famous cowboy, stunt rider, and Hollywood's champion of Western stars. Tales from the Diamond K was produced and transcribed in Hollywood.